Gracious Heavenly Father, it is such a glory, such a wonderful experience to know you, to love you, to walk with you. And you made that opportunity available to us through Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you were willing to lay aside all of the glory of heaven and step into this world and ultimately lay down your life to pay the price for our sins, all so that we could walk with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have not only done that for us, but you have also given us your Holy Spirit, who lives in us, who empowers us for daily living. And Father, as we continue to talk about the work that the Spirit does in our lives, I pray that you would help us to learn even more. Help us to see Jesus even more. And Father, today as we look into your word, I ask that you would hide this servant behind the cross of Jesus so that Jesus only would be seen. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, we have been talking for several weeks now about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We talked about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We've talked about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and what the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit means. Last week, we looked at the fruits of the Spirit, the character qualities and attributes that the Spirit-filled life will naturally produce in us. This week, we're going to start looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And again, this is one of those subjects where there are a lot of different opinions floating around out there in the church today about what these gifts actually are, what they mean. You go from church to church and you'll find different teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. For instance, you can go into one church and where the gifts of the Spirit seem to be what I would consider to be overemphasized, even glorified. It seems like all they ever talk about are the gifts of the Spirit. And then you can go into other churches where the spiritual gifts are what I would call marginalized or even ignored altogether. Some churches actually teach that the spiritual gifts are not even for today, that they went out long ago with the age of the apostles. And I just want to say one thing very briefly about that. This is a teaching that really does not have strong biblical support, you know, other than a couple of verses that are, I believe, are taken very badly out of context. But most churches today acknowledge the reality of the spiritual gifts. We talk about the importance of every believer discovering his or her spiritual gift. What we sometimes fail to do is to give a clear explanation of how exactly we're supposed to do that. You know, and then what do you do once you discover what your spiritual gift actually is? For instance, have any of you ever taken something like this? This is a spiritual gifts assessment. This one's called a spiritual gifts inventory. And it's a simple test. This one has 108 questions to it. And as it says on the cover, you can discover your spiritual gifts in only 20 minutes. Think about that. All right? Now, you might be able to tell, I'm not a huge fan of tests like this one, although I do believe they have value. Don't want to dismiss them altogether. Please understand that. But the reason I say that is because they're subjective. Okay, this one says read each statement and decide how it pertains to you. And then you have three different responses, almost always, occasionally, or not so much. Okay, and you just go through each one of these questions and say, yeah, that does or does not or somewhere in the middle apply to me. And then it says down here, it says most of the statements deal with your feelings or desires. So be sure to give your own, and it says in capitals, your own opinion of yourself. So again, it's very, very subjective. What it does is it hones in on the things that you're naturally drawn to, okay? Things that you may have a talent or giftedness for, but may not necessarily be your spiritual gift. Now, I do have to commend these guys, okay? At least they are addressing the subject of the spiritual gifts in a very positive, very proactive way. They're saying to us, you know, listen, church, you need to discover what your spiritual gift is, and you need to start using it for God's glory. See, this is a part of our birthright as followers of Jesus Christ. The spiritual gifts, they're our birthright. God has given us everything that we need, everything for daily living and for service. And he's given it to us through his Holy Spirit who lives within each one of us. And one of the ways he does that is through the spiritual gifts. So for us to just simply acknowledge them, to say, oh yeah, I read it in the Bible. I know that there are these spiritual gifts, and we just nod our heads and move on. You know, go on living our lives without using what God has actually given to us. It's foolishness. It really is. It's like trying to drive a nail into a board using your fist instead of the hammer that you've got right there in your tool bag. So this week and next week, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And this week, I want to focus in on what the gifts of the Spirit are. And by that, I mean, just give us a general working definition of what it is we mean when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about the kinds of gifts. We're going to maybe get into some controversial subjects like, are all of the gifts of the Spirit for today? Or how do I discover my spiritual gifts? Those are things we'll talk about next week. But this morning, if you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're using a pew Bible, you'll find that on page 959. Now, when it comes to the spiritual gifts, there are three main passages of Scripture that specifically address the gifts of the Spirit. What they are, how they're to be used, and you'll find those in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be focusing most of our attention this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Some of your Bibles may read the word ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. Paul is saying this is a very important subject. You know, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers. I don't want you to have an improper understanding of what these gifts actually are and how they are to be used. If we put that in the context of our Christian culture today, we could say, you know, I don't want you to have an unhealthy obsession with the spiritual gifts, nor do I want you to marginalize or ignore them. This is a very important subject. So take a look at verse 4. Paul says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone." What's he saying? He's saying that all of these gifts of the Spirit, they're unique, and they all have a different purpose. Just like you and I have different personalities, we all come from different backgrounds. We may have different gifts and talents and abilities. Nevertheless, we all serve the same Lord. And we all have the same Holy Spirit living within each one of us. Verse 7, he says, "Now to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And I'm going to come back to that word manifestation here in just a moment. But first I want you to notice a much smaller word. It's a phrase, actually, right at the beginning of this verse. He says, "To each is given." You know what that means? That means to every one of us, each one of us. See, the spiritual gifts are not reserved just for the super Christians, okay? They're not set apart specifically just for the leaders of the church or for the best and the brightest among us. They are for everyone. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then I can tell you two things. Number one, the Spirit of God lives in you. And number two, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. Okay? Now, before we can start digging into that question, then, you know, what is my spiritual gift? We first have to be clear about what it is we're actually talking about. In other words, what is a spiritual gift? And so this morning, that's what I want to do. I want to define what a spiritual gift actually is, and I've broken it down into four parts. And the first part is of that answer is this. The spiritual gifts are the supernatural endowment of every believer. They are the supernatural endowment of every believer. Again, therefore, every believer, therefore all of us, meaning you have a spiritual gift or gifts. But let me jump back and take a look at that first part of that. They are a supernatural endowment. Let's go back to that word manifestation for a moment. You remember a few weeks back we talked about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. You remember what that word manifest means? It means that which is clear or obvious to the mind or eye. It's about the Holy Spirit making his presence known in our lives in a very clear and convincing way. Well, that word manifestation is the Greek word phanerosis. Okay, it's derived from a verb, a Greek verb phanerao, which means to make clear or visible. It literally means, if you break down the word into its original root and prefix, it means to bring into the light. So that word manifestation is a coming to light of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that these gifts of the Spirit are a revelation of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And this is why I say that they are a supernatural endowment. See, whenever God wants to accomplish something of significance through his people, you ever notice? He always does it in a way that only he could receive the glory for it. I mean, look at all the great heroes of the Old Testament. Look at all the stories that we read. They would only give credit to the Lord for their accomplishment. King David said, you know, it was by the Lord. It was the Lord who defeated the bear and the lion, you know. He didn't talk about his skill as a hunter or anything like that because he recognized it wasn't him. It was God working through him. These heroes, they recognized that the things that they did and experienced could only be accomplished through God's power. Look at Joshua, for instance. He marched the children of Israel around the city of Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, you remember what happened, right? The walls came crashing down, and God literally handed them the city. Or take a look at Gideon, for example. Gideon led an army of 300 men armed with pitchers, torches, and trumpets. All right, that was their arsenal. And they went up against 120,000 Midianites. And guess who won that battle? Not because Gideon was a mighty man of valor. Not because he was brave or he was particularly gifted. It was because the Lord of hosts went before him. See, that's how God always works. And that's why I say that these gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about are not natural gifts. You know, I often get the question, you know, what about our natural talents, our abilities? You know, could we say that the spiritual gifts are maybe an enhancement of our talents or abilities? And here's how I would answer that. Joshua is a very gifted musician. I think we could all agree with that. You know, I am not a gifted musician. But Josh works hard at his craft. He practices a lot. And Josh uses his talent to bring glory to God. But I wouldn't necessarily call Josh's skill with a guitar a spiritual gift. And here's the reason why. Even if Josh wasn't a Christian, even if he wasn't a believer, even if the Holy Spirit was not living in him, I guarantee you he could still play a killer guitar. All right? That's a talent. That's an ability that he has. Now, having said that, I do believe that the ability to lead others into worship, the worship of Almighty God, I believe that can be a spiritual gift. All right, let me give you another example. Lamar is a very gifted teacher. If you've ever sat in on a Sunday school class or heard him preach here on a Sunday morning, I'm sure that you would agree with that. Well, you know, Lamar has a degree in education. He was a teacher for years, okay? You could say that Lamar's background in education and his experience helps him as a Sunday school teacher. But I would say that Lamar has a gift of teaching. Because you see, when it comes to communicating God's word, only the Holy Spirit can enable someone to communicate God's word in a way that people will understand it clearly and apply it to their lives. See, that's a gift of teaching. And I believe that Lamar and Charlie and many other of our wonderful Sunday school staff have that gift of teaching. It's something that only God can do, and only God can receive the glory for. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. You know, he was trained to be a teacher of the Word of God. But Paul knew the difference between relying on your training, you know, trusting in your pedigree and depending on the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen to what he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, which he could have done very easily. All right? For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, that is how God wants to work through his people. That's how he wants to work through us. He wants to do it in a way that only he could receive glory by the things that he is accomplishing through our lives. So, first of all, the spiritual gifts are the supernatural endowment of every believer. Second is this: they are assigned to us and empowered by the Holy Spirit. All right, take a look at verse 11. Paul goes through this list with the Corinthians. He goes through this list of the variety of different spiritual gifts. But then he says this in verse 11. He says, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." All right, you get that? They are empowered by and they are apportioned to each one of us according to the will of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I warn against any teaching that says, you know, every believer must be able to demonstrate this one particular gift in order to say that they are Spirit-filled. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But for now, I just want you to understand, it's so easy for us as Christians to get hung up on the gift itself. All right, you know, if I have this gift, if I can exercise this one gift, then I've really got it. You know, I'm part of the club. I'm Spirit-filled. But what Paul is saying here is that there is an actual purpose behind each one of these gifts. Part of the problem with the church in Corinth that Paul was writing to them and trying to address with them was that there was a hierarchy within the church. All right, some people simply thought of themselves as being better than others. And part of that was social economic, okay? You know, I'm a higher class citizen than you, so whenever we're in line, you need to get behind me, right? But part of it, believe it or not, part of it had to do with the spiritual gifts. They were looking at each other and saying, you know what? I have this gift, and you don't, so that makes me better than you. And it sounds really weird to think about it that way, but that's what he's talking about. This is why Paul was saying to them, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I want you to understand, this is important that you get this. Understand this, we are all different people. We all have different gifts. And no one is better than or higher than anybody else, whether it's because of where you come from or because of what gift you may have. We all have the same Spirit living within us. And he is the one who empowers us to use these gifts, and he's also the one who distributes them to us as he chooses. He has a purpose for giving you the specific gift that he gives you. And this is where we get into point number three, and that is the reason he gives us these gifts. The spiritual gifts are to be exercised for the building up of the body. This is what it's about. All of these different varieties of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to his church, the gift that you have is unique to you, all right? Because God wants to use it for building up his church. Each of the three passages that we talked about that talk specifically, teach specifically about the spiritual gifts, they're also the same three passages where Paul uses the illustration of the church as the body of Christ. Did you know that? Wherever you read about the body of Christ in the New Testament, you read about the spiritual gifts. And wherever you read about the spiritual gifts in the New Testament, you read about the body of Christ. And there's a reason for that. That's not a coincidence. See, the body of Christ is perhaps the clearest metaphor for the church that specifically addresses our own uniqueness as individuals and yet reminds us of our unity in Christ. Paul says in verse 12, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." God takes those of us so diverse, so different in so many ways, and he brings us together to form one body. Okay? Each of these passages that we talked about, the emphasis is on this truth, the body of Christ, not on the gifts. Okay? Paul wants us to understand first and foremost who we are in Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us, not only so we can experience his power in our lives individually, you know, not only so it'll benefit our own personal walk with the Lord, but he wants us to recognize that we are all part of something bigger. We belong to each other. See, the gifts that he has given to us, the gifts that he has apportioned to us as he wills, and the gifts that he empowers within us to exercise, they're given to us for the building up of the body. And this is why if we choose to ignore those gifts, or if we simply choose not to exercise those gifts, who suffers? It's the body of Christ. It's the church that suffers. Folks, this is why it's so important for us to get out of this mindset that church is that, you know, it's just that place that we go every Sunday to get our spiritual tank filled up. You know, that it's a social club, that it's a religious activity. This is me doing my religious duty. Look around you. Look at the people sitting next to you. See, the church is us. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. Paul said, now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul reminds us of just how important it is for us to be exercising our spiritual gifts within the context of the body of Christ. He says this, verse 11. He says, he, meaning Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints. That's you. That's us. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. In other words, so that you and I don't fall prey to the Facebook, Twitter theology that's going on out there, to where we start believing that everything we need to know about God, we can pick up on Facebook. No, that's why God puts us in the body of Christ and wants us to use our gifts. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What does all of that mean? It means we are the body of Christ, and it means every one of us is a part of it, and every part has a purpose. From the least to the greatest. Doesn't matter whether you're the eyes, nose, mouth, and ears, or whether you're one of those ligaments holding the joints together. It doesn't matter. There is no hierarchy. And it means that God has gifted each one of us so that we can use those gifts within the church to build up the body of Christ, so that we can continue to grow and mature and develop and hold off all the false teaching of the world out there as each part does its work. That's what it's about. So, how do we discover our spiritual gifts? How do I find out what my spiritual gift is, and how can I start using that gift? We'll talk about that next week. But beforehand, if you're taking notes, you notice we're not done yet, all right? There's one more thing I want to add. And this has to do with our motivation for service and how we are supposed to use our spiritual gifts. At the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul once again goes through this list of spiritual gifts, okay? And he's talking about the fact that don't look at these gifts and say, oh, this is better than that, and I'm better than you because I have this gift. He says, seek the greater gifts. Seek the ones that are going to help build up the body in an even more powerful way. But then he says this, in verse 31, he says, but I will show you a still more excellent way. More excellent than what? More excellent than your spiritual gift. Okay, because without this, your spiritual gift means nothing. And then he rolls right into chapter 13. And I want you to keep in mind, all right, Paul didn't write chapter and verse. Right, that's something that we added. Those divisions were added much, much later as a way of helping us find references. Okay, that's what those are there for. When Paul wrote this, this was just one long run-on sentence. You got to keep this in mind. There wasn't even punctuation in the Greek, if you want to know the truth. Okay, so what was Paul's more excellent way? Chapter 13, verse 1. He says, even if I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I'm nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You see, without love, the spiritual gifts are meaningless. The spiritual gifts are supposed to be expressed in love. And it all comes back to our understanding of what they're for and what they're all about and the fact that we are here for each other. See, when I come to understand that this Christian life is about more than just me and my own little word, just me and Jesus, when I realize that God wants to demonstrate his love to the entire world through the love of his church, his own people. When I recognize that, and I understand that this is only going to happen when we care enough about each other to invest in each other, to use our God-given gifts to build each other up, then yeah, I'm like, sign me up. Sign me up, Lord. Fill me. Use me. Give me whatever gift you want, and use me for your honor and glory. You see, that's the key. And it's really the key to understanding, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is, all right? You have to start with the right motivation. It begins with my love for God and my love for God's people. See, if I get that straight and I understand that this is what it's about, then finding my spiritual gift becomes the easy part. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your church. Your church is a gift to us. I know it's your gift to the world because it's through your church that you choose to draw people to yourself, that you point people to Jesus. But Father, it's that it's the fact that you have built us together as brothers and sisters in Christ into a family. The fact that you have pulled us together out of so many different backgrounds and with so many different gifts and abilities. And you've called us together so that we can build each other up, so we can strengthen each other in our faith, so that we can be prepared to pass this legacy of faith on to the next generation and to the next and to the next. Father, I thank you for my church family. I thank you for the giftedness that's represented here. And Lord, for each one of us, I pray that you will help us to recognize the importance of our role in the body of Christ. And that you'll help us to understand even more clearly how you want to work through us, how you want to empower us in such a way that only you can get the credit for it. Only you can receive the glory. Jesus, you said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And that's what I want to see happening in this church. Jesus, be exalted by your people, through your people, so that we can reach this community and this world for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.